The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's get into the actual.
Yeah, what's up, f***ers? Welcome to the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. You got to get it out there. I'm allowed to say a few swear words here. So there's the first one.
I don't think you are.
So that's the first one of maybe many, or maybe that will be the only one ever.
Wow, there you have it. You know what? This is 5 years, everybody. Chris Sims Unbuttoned. What's up? I'm Chris Sims. Ahmed Fareed is here. Yes. That's in the early stages. 5 year anniversary today, Monday, March 4th, 2024. Ahmed has had a deal with me for a long time. That was just the first time I subjected him to four letter words. Now it's a mainstay on the podcast. Proud to say that that's one thing I brought to NBC. Fuck you, shit, and a lot of other cuss words. Thank you. You're welcome, NBC. Thank you.
NBC knew about them. They knew they existed, right? They had never been spoken into a microphone here in this building until you walked into the building. Is that the worst prediction of all time, my prediction? That may be the last one I said.
That may be the last one.
Well, in my defense, I didn't know what was going to happen. NBC had never seen it before. How
would
they
react?
Right.
You're like, surely they're not going to tell him he can't do that ever again. Surely they won't let him keep swearing on the podcast.
Yeah.
And little did we know, right, that it would drag you down as well, right? Did we not have the tape of him swearing?
Oh, man.
I mean, disjointed, in 5 years, F-bomb. I finally got you to just feel comfortable for about 3.2 seconds to where you just read the transcript, right, being Ron Burgundy and who you are and just reading the teleprompter. You did say the F word, which was an all-time favorite moment of this podcast.
I can't believe it's been 5 years.
I know.
And that really
was
5 years ago to the day.
Right.
Those are our voices.
Look at that. Look at that. You got a full head of hair.
I got hair. It's not as great. That's
what am
sure.
I doing? I don't know. Either I'm wearing hoodie. Look at that. We got a Greek
Roman
statue over there.
Is that what it is? Greek.
I guess.
Two cupcakes?
Yep. Me with a number one jersey, which just doesn't make sense because I was never the first round pick, nor number one in the NFL. I don't know. But either way, those are the good old days right there. How far we've evolved.
Have we?
There we are. Look, we just moved up a few feet and put a desk there. That's all we did. Evolution.
Evolution. It took us 5 years to move 5 feet to where we are right now. You know what? Like, I've really enjoyed these 5 years. And I got here. This was one of the first things I did when I got here. It was like, I think I did rugby one day, and then I did the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast
like,
the
next. Damn, I left the Bay Area for this?
Which is kind of, like, indicative of what my career has been like at NBC. I don't know what I'm doing from one day to the next, which has been awesome. But, like, this has been, like, so enjoyable. Probably the most enjoyable thing that I've done.
Damn.
And getting to,
damn,
to talk to you and sit down, relax, just dude to dude.
Well, I did not expect you to say all that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It is. Yeah. Listen, you're one of my best friends in the company. That's for sure. You're really one of my best friends overall, not just in the company. You're a great dude. So it's been great getting to know you, and I appreciate that. I really do. I mean, damn. I mean, five years together, us doing this, talking. I mean, yeah, I feel like you know me, right? You're swearing a little bit. We've had a drink here and there.
Yes.
I'll know we're officially friends if we can go to the draft this year in my barn, and you will actually have a drink during the draft. That's what
I will do that. I will do that because I don't want to be freaked out by you
me.
Being the only one
drunk. You need to lower your own stress levels to to deal with me because last year you were stressed, as it was Matt Casey, after I took a little puffy and a drink before the pod. They weren't sure I was going to be able to pull it off. Little did they know the pro they were dealing with.
You did, we did pull it off. And it means like it happened, right? I don't know that we did it successfully all the way through, but it did happen and it was over and it went out to everyone.
It was successful.
So it was successful. Yeah. We actually had a real good time with that.
We did.
We're going to do that again.
Yep.
And I love this. It's draft time. because you get into the nitty-gritty here. Yep. You're training for your future time as the Giants GM 10 years down the road. So you're going to look at all these guys. I know it's a stressful time for you, but it's a fun time.
It is.
And this is the time. This sets the base layer for you because you have as much knowledge, and here we are just going to be complimenting each other, of every player in the NFL as any analyst I know. And I think a lot of that comes from this work you do right now over the next couple months.
Right.
Yes. You're,
right.
you're going to look at so much tape. Right. You're going to learn about these guys in their college so that when they're in the NFL next year, the year after that, like you already kind of know about them and you have that base.
Definitely. It goes into our old saying, right? You know, just like, you know, you got to live it. You got to know it, right? I mean, then that's what I do. I totally just get into the details, the nitty gritty, and engross myself with the whole process. But yes, within that, it does. It helps for next year. Right. I mean, when we get to July or August every year, I have people in the TV business, right, who will, oh, wait, what did you think of this guy in the draft? Oh, wait, I, you know, what about this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I always can kind of grin to myself to go, thank God I don't have to do that. Thank God I already know these guys. So now I'm not going, wait, how does this guy fit on this team or whatever else? So this is the combine is what I look at as the kickoff of the 2024 NFL season, right? It has officially started, and that's kind of where everybody just starts back at ground zero, wipe the slate clean. Hey, congratulations on last year, but nobody actually fucking cares anymore. It's a new league year. Let's get going, right? And that's where we are, and I feel like that's what last week was. It is the kickoff, and it was great. And kickoff, great, cool. We got a cool draft, I think, here too. The quarterback conversation, I think, is very real this year, and there's a lot of different arguments to be had, and you know, figuring that out, let alone, you know, I think we got some stars at some other big positions that are worth, like, noteworthy, right, of like talking in, for TV, made for this. Pass rushers, you know, DBs seem like it's pretty good. Wide receivers deep as hell as usual, right? Offensive linemen are nowhere to be found as far as like high-end talented ones. In a lot of years this year, it looks like we have a first round where it sounds like six, maybe eight first round O linemen can be drafted, right? So I think it's going to give us a lot of good talking points, let alone we're not even in free agency, which that's starting next week. So we're not going to be dull by any stretch of the imagination. But I had, just to button that up, my favorite combine of all time.
This was your favorite?
My favorite
combine.
You've
been to how many now?
As I'm working this way, I guess this is like seven.
Okay.
But then, you know, I mean, participated in one.
You hated that.
I worked with the Patriots and two other ones.
Yeah.
Went to another one hoping to get a job from somebody in the NFL. So I guess I've been there 10 or 11 times.
But in this capacity.
In this capacity, I think we're at 7 years, maybe six.
And why was this the best?
I don't – because of the players, right? I said this a few times on PFT during the week, right? But usually – if we go to the combine, and let's just say on a Wednesday we interview 10 guys, right? Out of the 10 on a usual basis, I would tell you usually two are only good interviews, right? The other eight, not that they're bad, but they're not great interviews because they're scared shitless of doing something wrong, right? They got their college coach in their ear telling them, hey, don't mess yourself up for this draft process. Just keep it quick and simple and be humble, right? Yep. They got the agent in their ear saying, hey, make the answers just quick and short. Don't talk yourself into trouble. Don't say anything that can get headlines or be brought back to you as a negative, right?
Yep.
So therefore, then you get, hey, how's this process? It's been great, sir, right? Hey, what are you trying to work on? Everything, sir, right? Yeah. And like, okay, those are nice answers and that's pleasant. I get that. But you know that's not what we want, right? We got guys this year that joked around, gave in-depth answers, and wanted to show their personalities. And to me, that was the coolest thing this year. I don't ever remember the personalities being the way they were. And I'm into personality, right? There's things you can glean.
You think it matters?
More times than not, superstars got personality, right? If you go through, who's the best defensive player in football right now? Micah Parsons, right? Got that kind of TJ Watt. He's on commercial.
Miles
personality.
Garrett.
They got personality, right? You get in the corners. You get to the receivers, the good receivers. Who is it? Justin Jefferson? Personality, right?
Stephon Diggs.
Personality.
Maybe
for
too
sure.
Much personality.
Well, I mean, whatever, but it's there, right? You know, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, those type of guys, right? Lawrence Taylor, wasn't he a personality? I just saw Aaron Donald on vacation. You know what he's got? Personality.
Which
right?
is, yeah, which
stars
is
stars more times than not have that way, right? That's why they're stars. Oh, wait, the game's on, the camera's on, the lights are on. I like this. This is where I thrive, right? You know, so that's where there is something, let alone the look test does hold some water too. Right, and that's where it was cool. But I think with all that encompassing, it was a great year.
So I'm glad you're starting there because we are going to talk about we're going to name check a lot of the guys that popped and that stood out to you, and you got to see them up close. You didn't necessarily watch them go work out, but you saw their body type, and you can glean a lot from you specifically from the look of a person.
The body type. Right, I said this to Mike last week. I'm not always perfect. Right, I'm not saying I can. So, but here's the one area I feel like I've always been pretty strong on. Right? I've had guys there that look the part, and I go, ooh, watch out for him. He looks the part, blah, blah, blah. And then you turn on the film, and you go, eh, that's not really it, right? All right, so there's a few of that. But where I can tell more times than not is the guy that I know, wait, he's getting a lot of hype, he's really good, and then they come on stage, and I go, man, like, wow, I've been around defensive ends my whole life. Like, I've never seen one that's successful that looks like that, right? I was with Simeon Rice, right? You know, I saw Lawrence Taylor, right? I mean, I was around those type of guys, right? So there is something to be said, and not that it's foolproof, but I definitely have been more right along this aspect of like, hey, this guy's a top guy or blah, 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 and I see the body and I go, I don't think that's going to work. That body type, I've never really seen that type of body be successful at the next level, right? So those are things I certainly can look at and glean from the in-person thing, right? And I feel like that's one where in years past and things like that, maybe sometimes it has influenced my rankings, right? Where I look at the rankings, I watch the film, I do it, right? And then I also in my mind go, oh, wait, I don't know if I want to make this guy 3, 4, or 5, right? And then that's where it will go to my head a little bit and go, you know, I saw this guy at the combine and I didn't like his body. And the other guy was a fucking Greek god. And I would, you know, most defensive ends would pay money to have that body, right?
Yeah.
It's close. I'm going to go with the guy with the body I trust because that's the formula I trust. That's the one I've seen succeed. The other guy, I'd rather go down with that one because I got to see it to believe it. You know what I mean? So that's where there is definitely something to kind of look into that stuff when you meet them in person. Yeah. And that's the value of the combine for the teams as well.
Sure. And do you ever make them uncomfortable when you're looking at them? For a long time,
I mean,
sometimes. Or can you do it pretty quickly?
I can do it pretty quickly. Pretty quickly, right? You know me. I'm a professional looker of people's bodies,
right? When they're walking off the stage, do you catch a glance?
I get them before they even come on the stage. I'm usually sitting there doing the interview, right, with somebody else, and I can see them in the background, and I see their body. And then when they're like, hey, I'm like, hey, come up on the stage. And as they're walking up on the stage, I'm already looking at them.
It's like that totally. It's like that meme of that guy with the girl, and then there's the other girl walking by.
Behind,
it's like you're doing an interview with a prospect, and you're looking at the other
prospect. I'm looking at the other guy's ass. I'm going, man, look at that ass. That's going to work. Look at those thighs. That's going to work.
We need the homies to Photoshop that meme now with Chris in the place of the dude. Well, that's good. And so we're going to use that information to inform us this draft season. I want to get into some of the positions first, but let's start with the interviews.
Yeah.
Because that's when I came in here first. I was like, I want to know like who stood out to you.
Right.
Like, Nate, we're going to get names here now. Like, who stood out to you? Maybe what were answers that were a little different or made you stand up and go, wow, that's a great answer to that question. So Kyle Vert, 53, had the same question as me. He goes, which prospect seemed the most genuine in their answers during the interviews and without naming a name? Was there any prospect that seemed like answers were more coached and rehearsed, resulting in a potential red flag situation?
Right.
So let's start with a positive first. Yeah. Like, who did you sit down with and you're like, dang, super impressive dude?
Yeah, there was a lot. And to the question here, like, that's what I was kind of just saying. There wasn't as many personality-wise negative, right, that I saw. Where I was like, ooh, that's where it was a special combine. I mean, I'm not bullshitting here just to talk on the podcast or anything. Like, I'm telling you, I texted my mom, my Aunt Wendy, like, all these people were like, how is it? I was like, I don't ever remember a year where the kids were this good, right? I call them kids now because I'm 43, right? And they're calling me sir, so I'm allowed to call them kids, right? All right, so.
To us.
You know, it was one of those years where I feel like it was as great as ever. Caleb Williams, of course, is a superstar.
Yeah. All right? So Caleb. So from what I've seen from him, and you couldn't see much because USC was pretty.
Yes,
you know, they kept him. Like, I think we did their game. They didn't even talk to our broadcast crew, and so they didn't do a whole lot of interviews with Caleb Williams. You've seen the stuff in the press, his team. You know, it's very manicured on some of the social media stuff they do.
Right.
I was waiting to see what Caleb Williams was going to look like. He did seem through the TV screen as like a good dude that wanted to be there and, you know, said the right stuff. Sitting down with him, what'd you think?
I mean, any of those questions, right? And listen, I was bothered by, wait, why didn't he talk after this game? Why aren't they making him answer questions, right? Mm-hmm. I was one going, this is part of the preparation for the quarterback. You're the quarterback at USC. This is what you have to do if you're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Hey, Caleb, why'd you lose today? Why didn't you play good? Those are part of the things you'd like to see, right?
Right.
Well, I could tell you this. After this weekend, like, nobody's going to have those questions. They're going to be squashed. Caleb's one of those guys that walks into the room and you go, oh, damn, Caleb Williams here. He can control the room. He's just, it's easy for him to be natural. It's natural for him to be nice and forthcoming as a person, right? And engaging. He's got charisma, let alone, like, he's a gym rat. He's a gym rat. I could tell that right away, right? Like, you've heard me ask quarterbacks sometimes, hey, how do you grip the ball, blah, 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 all that. He was all over that type of stuff, right? He was all over mechanics. So I could tell this is a guy that's fully in, understands not only the business but the little intricacies of the sport. He realizes even though he's damn good, he still has to stay on top of his game and continue to tinker and get better.
He's curious about it.
He's curious about it, let alone, yes, he's got that, whatever you want to call it, it factor, magic factor, where you just go, wait, when this guy's on a stage or whatever, guys are going to gravitate towards him because he's just a natural, cool, God-given leader. Right. So he would be like, if we were just going to start at the top, he would be the first one. Quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Right. We didn't do a ton of receivers, but Romo Odunze has, again, star type personality.
Our whole crew loved him. Like, Morgan's raving about him.
He's handsome.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a $1 million smile. Right. He's got a little style and swag to him. Right. And then he's, again, another guy who's willing to show his personality and open up and, of course, can do it in a respectful way to where any organization is going to talk to him and go, man, this guy's got it. He wanted to compete at the combine, do all that stuff, show what he has, right? Because he knows he's the number two or three receiver in the thing. He still wants to be one, right? But, again, you know, the smile, the player, the size of the player, all of that, you meet him, you go, that's one of the safer picks in the draft. And, again, I haven't studied receiver yet, but I've seen enough of Michael Penix to watch him and go, he's one of the safer picks of the draft.
Interesting.
Right? And we'll hit on him and his workout and all that, too, as we go along. He was great. Defensive ends, okay? That was a pretty cool group right there. Dallas Turner and Jared Verse definitely have superstar take over the game late personalities. Definitely the type of guys that you like that way. Latu Latu, right? I'm going to mess up his name.
No,
and I'm sorry.
Hold on. We're going to get it.
Latu Latu. Right.
From UCLA.
Going to work on it. Another
Let's
one.
Let's do it three times. Latu Latu. Latu Latu. Latu Latu.
Yes. Okay. Now it's in our brain. He definitely had the same type of thing, right? You know, Jared Verse, Latu, and Dallas Turner had special personalities where I'd go, you know, again, these are guys that I've been around pass rushers and good outside linebacker types my whole life.
Yes.
And they had the type of attitude where, you know, again, what's it take to be that type of guy? You got to be disciplined, work hard, right? Obsessive, freak athlete. You got to have a positive frame of mind because your game is really like, damn, I didn't get to the quarterback. Damn, I didn't get to the quarterback. Damn, I didn't get to the quarterback. I'm still the man, though. I'm going to get to the quarterback, right?
Yep.
It's a little bit like a DB, right? So that's where they got to have that. You know, I've been shut out all game, but there's 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. This is where I come out. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to show up right now, right? So they were special that way.
And you know what I think, too? Yeah. It's not only just them. And that they don't, you know, they see it as an opportunity and not as a chance for messing up.
Right.
Positive mind frame, mindset. But it's also that how that affects your teammates, right? Having a guy like that, right, with that confidence and that, it's like that just brings out the best in the people around
them.
That's
what I mean by that superstar personality. Thank you for expanding on that because I probably didn't explain that the right way.
Yeah, it's not just them. It's also the effect on their teammates.
It's exactly right. Right? You know, like when I was in a locker room, or my dad, I'll tell you, when he was a lot, and Lawrence Taylor was in the locker room, right? The locker room had a little extra energy because he was saying crazy stuff and calling people out for dumb shit, right? Or whatever. Right, that's where the superstar personality in the locker room has an effect on the football team. Definitely, right? You know, Warren Sapp, maybe not everybody loved it in the locker room, but the personality was, ooh, when Warren's in the locker room, there's a little extra juice in here, right? You know, one, you better watch what you say or do because he'll call your ass out. Two, he's going to throw some things out there that, you know, the whole locker room's going to kind of laugh or giggle or go, he's crazy, but it's going to add the energy of the locker room altogether. That type of effect, right? Yeah. That's a real thing, you know? I've been with Brandon Marshall on a day where, you know, again, he's the man and he's cool, right? And Brandon used to fight through some things with some of his personality disorders. You know, 3-4 days in a row, he'd be the man and charismatic, and you go, damn, he couldn't be a cooler person, right? But that day he'd come in where he might have been a little more negative or going through some shit that day in his brain. The locker room was different. It was more quiet. You know, because most people, hey, we wanted to joke around with, hey, B. Marsh. But now he's kind of in that mood, and we're kind of just like, oh, okay, we'll be quiet. We don't want to, you know, I don't want to piss him off, or he didn't wake up on the right side of the bed, right? So that is the effect, 100%, right? And that's what that guy can have. That's where, like, the Byron Murphy of Texas. Like, you know, again, I didn't get to meet all these guys at all these positions. Right. So it's nothing negative against people I didn't bring up, right? Like, the only two D tackles we really met were Chris Jenkins and Byron Murphy. Mm-hmm. Texas, Michigan, both had that, Ahmed, both. Yeah. Like, special ways about them.
I know Jenkins, he likes to talk,
too. Oh,
he
definitely. Enjoys and he's just moment. Personality, and he's got a million-dollar smile again, right? You know, he's one of those where, like, my Aunt Wendy, as soon as he gets off, she's like, that Chris Jenkins is so cute. He's so, right? So he's got that, right? It doesn't matter who it is. Like, you just go, damn, he's got it, right? You know, some of the DBs, I didn't get to meet Quinyon Mitchell. Mitchell, he killed it in the combine, right? But we also had dudes like Nate Wiggins. Yeah. Nate Wiggins, right? Clemson corner, Island corner. I've seen a little bit of him on film. I like him, right? When I met him, I was like, oh, I like you because I know you're just like, get in my, I got that guy, right? You know that's my kind of corner, right? Then he had the, what are you going to run tomorrow? 4.28. I went, whoa, you're going to put yourself out there. He goes, yeah, I'm going to run 4.28. And you know what I mean? And I'm like, that's a corner. That's a shutdown corner. Right? He's going to put himself out there because oh, the lights are on. I don't care. I'm ready to go. I know what I am. I'm the man. Right? So I look at stuff like that. Terrion Arnold from Alabama had a similar personality.
You heard everything great about
him. Oh, he just, he's, you know, he's like, you know, if you could all wake up, if we could all wake up in the morning with Terrion Arnold's attitude and the way he goes and the pizzazz he has for life, damn, we'd all be better people, certainly. Yeah. So those are probably the ones that jumped out to me the most, right?
Sure. And you always want to be careful, obviously, well, right? Because but you don't want to really, fall in love with a person,
no,
right?
I know.
In love with a person. And
no,
the tape.
No, no.
There have been people with great personalities that have been bad NFL
exactly
players.
Exactly, right? And vice versa, right? There's been, you know, horrible personalities, and you go, damn, he's still a baller. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But, you know, again, I think we're talking within the confines of things, and more times than not, the great players do have great attitudes and a great way about them and an ability to lead that rubs off on other people. That's natural that you feel it right away, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the guys we've talked about a little bit all have that type of magic.
So to tie it up, we don't want to be negative about anyone, but was there anyone that was maybe too overly coached that you're just like, oh, man, let your personality go out there. You're the man. I've seen you on tape. Get out there. Embrace this whole process. Maybe it was Marvin Harrison.
No, you know
no one
what?
Talked to
well,
him.
You know what? You know, I'll tell you, this is like Jeremiah Trotter Jr., right?
Yes.
You know, great young man. Great young man.
Yep.
But, you know, he kind of approached it more like a business.
Business,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to do this. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to leave it at that, right? And I can be one to tell you that I fell in that trap, right? I grew up around it. This is, if I had a thing I could take back from the combine, I wish I was more myself, a little bit more of a cocky asshole like I am with a big mouth, right?
That's
I'm not
funny.
Really cocky like that, but I, you know, talk and, you know, when I did play, I had great confidence in myself that way. I was so like, ooh, I grew up around this guy. I've known him since I was 12, right? Ooh, I know he knows my dad, that I felt like I was probably a little too humble. In some of my interviews with teams and coaches, right? Mm. They didn't really get to see me where when they asked me, like, what are you going to, you know, how you, what are you looking at yourself? I should have been like, I got the fucking strongest arm in the draft, right? How about that? Nobody can fucking throw the ball like me. Nobody, right? You know, I wish I would have said stuff like that. And because I was afraid of, maybe coming off too cocky. My dad still sims.
I don't
want to be that
guy.
Your
dad finds out. He doesn't
right.
like it.
I was a little more reserved than I probably should have been.
That's
and that would be something I would definitely regret.
It's funny you say that, and you say that maybe Jeremiah Trotter Jr. fell into that trap, and Marvin Harrison Jr. did not talk to anyone while he was there, too. That's interesting that you say that.
It's in Marvin Harrison Jr.'s way. I mean, in his personality, I think, anyways, not to talk a whole lot.
Yeah.
But
you talked to Maria Taylor during our season. He was great.
He it seems like it. I know I've heard him a little bit during the season. He seems like it, you know, but sometimes that's what happens when you grow up in the football household. You know, you just talk about respect, be humble, do that all the time, that you actually can maybe even be that a little too much.
His dad's definitely still a big part of his life.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure he is.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
I like that. That gives us a kind of a idea on who these guys are. Because, you know, it's like we all can see the other stuff. It's like, but who are these guys?
Yeah.
Really, which ones are popping? Who have the leadership qualities there too? So let's get into kind of some of the what we saw on the field, or maybe just with some of your film. I don't want to talk too much about quarterbacks here. You've already said too much about quarterbacks.
Yeah, right.
You've already leaked too much that's in your brain these quarterbacks. We're doing the rankings Wednesday.
Right.
So the official Chris Sims rankings will be
out. Coming out.
They will be adjusted one time at a later date where you'll move one guy from 5 to 6 or something.
Maybe,
like that.
Maybe. It's usually one little movement a year.
But maybe not this year because we're deeper into the process,
I feel pretty good. Right.
So we don't want to give away too much on this.
Yeah. I never already said who my number one is.
You've already given away a lot.
Yeah. I've given away my one and my two. There's no way. That's not changing. There's nothing. I've seen enough to know it's Caleb Williams and then it's Jaden Daniels. And then we can. That's going to be the fun part on Wednesday, is doing the next 3 to 4 guys.
I think a lot of people would hear Jaden Daniels if they were not watching you during the combine and be surprised by that. But as I said, we've already gotten into. I don't want to get into too much.
Okay.
Let's save this for Wednesday.
Okay. Good.
Can we save most of this for Wednesday?
Let's just get to the questions.
Because we have a
question
for Shy City 4L. Chris, what are your thoughts on competitive arrogance? Caleb gets flack for being cocky, but I think he has competitive arrogance. He thinks he's the guy and will do anything to prove it. Don't all elite quarterbacks have it? Isn't it different from narcissism a la Johnny Manziel?
Yes.
So this is bordering on what we just talked about. But the difference between the confidence and the cockiness and the arrogance.
Confidence in yourself. And that way is still, hey, I'm awesome, but I'm willing to work and do all that and be it. Cockiness is the guy who's like, you know, if it's too much, I don't even need to work. I'm the man, right? And it's like, no, you don't. There's like 4 guys in the history of football that didn't need to work and got away with it. Relax. Like, you know, you're not Lawrence Taylor, right? It's like that kind of guy, right? And those are few and far between. So, no, I totally agree with this, right? You know, it's not cocky. It's a Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, humble cockiness, if that makes sense, or great self-confidence in thyself, that I can overcome anything, I can do anything, I believe in my abilities, but it's not like I've been around the cocky guys. I'm not like, hey, what's up, man? I'm the man, right? And like not even give you the time of day, won't even look you in the eye, right? Like there's been like that. Like here's a difference between cockiness and confidence, right? Here's a great story. You remember Cade McCown coming out of UCLA?
Yeah.
Right? The lefty, pretty, I mean, good college football player, got drafted by the Bears, right? I was at, I won quarterback of the, you know, the number one quarterback in the country in high school, right? The quarterback club, the National Quarterback Foundation, had like an awards banquet where they awarded the top college quarterback, the top high school quarterback, and the top NFL quarterback. Mm. The year I won it was in 1998. It was Randall Cunningham and John Elway, right? Because the Broncos won the Super Bowl. Randall Cunningham on the Vikings, they went 15-1 and lost in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
They actually tied, so they both won it. So I fly out to Denver in spring of my senior year. Right, I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to that dinner, right? I mean, you're going to honor me at the same dinner you're honoring John fucking Elway?
Yeah.
Of course. And Randall Cunningham, who I grew up with watching him torture my dad and the Giants. Like, I'll be there, right? And, of course, I'm a college fan, and, you know, McCown's a lefty like me. So, yeah, I got to meet him. He was great, blah, blah, blah. But here's my story. And Cade, I don't know, he might not like this, but this is what happened. Here's Cocky. We have to sign autographs in the back room. Cade McCown is on the cell phone, and John Elway and Randall Cunningham come through, right? They're coming in the room now, and we're all meeting each other and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, of course, I'm like, hi, Mr. Elway, who I've already met like 15 times in my life, but I'm still like, hi, Mr. Elway, hi, Mr. Cunningham, blah, blah, blah. Cade McCown, in his black leather jacket, right, stays on the phone and just sticks his hand out and gives them a little nod. Like, just John Elway, he just won the Super Bowl twice in a row, right? He kind of just is on the phone. And he's like gives him the head nod, like, yeah, what's up, dude?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, what's up, dude? And then kind of walks away, right? And they looked at each other like, I can still remember Randall looking at John Elway going, who the fuck is this guy, right? Kind of one of those looks, right?
Yeah.
Right? So that's cocky, right?
Yeah.
That's cocky, right? Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, right? John Elway, Dan Marino. Yeah, there's some cockiness, but not disrespectful cockiness. Again, it goes more into the confidence of who I am as a person, as a player. But they don't mistreat people, right?
Yeah.
Right? So that, to our point here with at ShyCity4L, you're exactly right. This is not narcissism. This is a guy who's a gym rat. I can see that. He loves it. He's going to work hard at it. He has great self-confidence. And I was one that sat here, right, and said, hey, if I'm the Bears, Justin Fields has shown progress. You don't blow that up. This is really, you know, not something you just give up on, right? But I sit here today and go, after watching Caleb Williams, I totally understand it. Caleb Williams is special. The Bears are taking him at number one, right? Ryan Poles came from Kansas City. He's not going to go down swinging or lose his job with a guy that he didn't draft, let alone he saw a guy in Mahomes at Kansas City where he's going, wait, this guy might be the closest thing we've seen to Mahomes since Mahomes, right? So there's no way he's going to Chicago. That's going to happen. And after breaking down Caleb Williams and already stating that he's clearly number one, right, I can understand it because this is a special football player, and Chicago, I think, has got their first big-time franchise quarterback for sure. That they've had maybe in, I don't know, forever or a long, long time.
So we have a question, Pete, here from Brian. Brian Neal. I think that's going to be maybe the toughest
division. Your division's
going to
be amazing.
It's going to be a great division. If Kirk Cousins comes back to Minnesota, it's going to be very difficult. Brian Neal has a question on tell me why Caleb is different than the last two times we drafted a first-round quarterback. Let's save that for, I think, Wednesday. Right?
But he's special. We'll hit on him Wednesday. We'll get to you, Brian Neal. But he is special, right? And I can just tell you that he's different than the last two times you drafted a quarterback. But I'm going to leave it right there, okay?
Jimmy Dean says, damn okay, Penix has an arm, but do the wide receivers he was throwing to have hands? I swear there was little attempt to catch any of the balls.
Yeah, Penix was great. That whole weekend, if you want to talk about, again, Caleb's going to squash all the rumors, right, about, oh, well, he didn't talk to the media. Is he a little stuck up? All that type of stuff. Like, every team that met him, I guarantee, within the first 50 seconds, they were like, oh, he's fucking awesome. All this shit's bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know why the coach didn't let him talk after the game. You know, it's actually the coaching decision hurt Caleb Williams' stock or at least his perception a little bit.
So that's my biggest complaint because I think, you know, you talked about it with Marvin Harrison and Mike Florio, and he's always a proponent of the players doing whatever they want to do. You know, but I'm of the mindset, like, it's an opportunity to go out there and do something great.
Right.
Right? You look at it as – if a lot of players, and I wish everyone would compete in the combine, you know, partly because I want to watch it selfishly, but also because it's just like, what do you got to lose? Yeah. And I know some people are like, well, you got a lot to lose. Well, not if you think you're going to go out there and like crush it or have a fun time.
Exactly right.
And regardless, it's like one of my favorite sayings is, you know, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were built for.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, you could be in the harbor all the time and you'd be perfectly safe.
I know.
But it's like, we're meant, you're a football player. You're meant to go out there and compete. And CJ Stroud did it last year.
Exactly right.
And it was probably a life experience that he's always going to remember and cherish at this point. And if you did not compete at the combine, more power to you, but it's not a moment that you can look back and be like, oh, I did that.
No.
I remember what that was like.
You're right.
And so it's like, I am disappointed to see players not do that, to see them not, just for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they don't have that experience now.
It's hard, though. It's hard. Like, it's hard sometimes when you're the solidified one, number one guy, and then they're going, all they're going to do is look for something to make me not the number one guy.
And you look at these jerks. Exactly.
So
and it happens.
I understand
you're like, I don't want that happening.
Exactly.
To me. And I get the medical thing, actually, for Caleb Williams, too. It's just like, because who knows? Like, one doctor at the combine sees something, then it becomes a story, and then that follows you your whole career. Like, I actually do get that.
Definitely. I told the story to Florio today, right? There was a question about my dad, and he had a winged scapula, right? All because of a Jets doctor, the New York Jets. Only doctor that touched him that felt this way, but it became a thing, right? So even to where he got drafted by the Giants, they would always check on it because they're like, oh, the Jets. So it became, you know, he never played for other teams and didn't have to deal with it anymore. But that's how easily it can become a thing. And I understand Caleb Williams is going to do this. He's going to let the doctor see him, the teams he thinks he's going to go to. He's not going to let have everybody in the league push him and go, oh, I think his right pinky toe might be deficient. Like, and then that become a thing.
Yeah.
Right. So I do get that. And that's a business and that's part of the game. But, you know, back to our Jimmy Dean.
Yeah, sorry, I threw you off.
No, you're totally good. Penix, I think, you know, one, people are going to meet him and go, damn, he's a great kid. Like, I met him at the Super Bowl. He's awesome. Two, they're going to go, damn, he's smart, knows football, knows how to, like, talk defense, X's and O's, do all of that. Let alone, if anybody watched that the other day, I mean, he's made to throw the football. It's just natural for him. To your point a little bit, he's just like, hey, I throw the football. This is what I do. And he just comes out and starts throwing spirals and lasers around the field, right? So I thought he definitely helped himself because he just showed how easy and natural for him it is. Like, he just, what, quarterback coach, whatever, blah blah blah, and the dude can just throw it, and he understands how to do that, and he understands how to play quarterback, so I do think he helped himself out a lot.
I won the mum says, how does this affect your assessment when comparing young three-year starters like Williams, May, McCarthy against the older 5 and 6 year starters like Nix, Daniels, Penix, who might not have been as good as the younger players were 2 to 3 years ago, but obviously learned as they went here. And again, this is a discussion we'll have more on Wednesday, but just briefly, like, that will be a challenging part of some of this.
It is
every year,
but
especially now you have the COVID year and you got guys that Bo Nix, who started more games and played more than any other quarterback in the history of college football.
Yeah,
I think.
No, you're right. It is. It's one that you put stock into, but I don't maybe put as much stock into it as maybe, I don't know, the rest of the media or people make it out to be at times, right? Here's my thing. Like, yes, with the younger guys, you do have to take into account is, hey, they're going to get more mature. Their body is going to thicken out. They're still young, right? There was a difference between my body at 20 as compared to 24, right? 20, I was still like, oh my gosh, like if I, you know, if I didn't eat a ton or whatever, my body and my metabolism were burning so fast that, I could lose weight, right? 24, right? I had a bad weekend of eating. I was like, oh shit, I'm 237, right? Like, and I should be 228, right? So you do change that way, let alone I definitely was a hair more mature mentally at 24 compared to 20, you know? 20, I might have jumped off a 4-story building. 24, I was like, damn, I remember that. That hurt me. I don't want to do that again.
3 stories,
right.
max.
Into a pool, right? So I think you have to take that into account. But then I also, again, I'm not going to dock the older guys a ton, right? I understand they have, like, a different mindset, and they are a little bit more physically and mentally mature. But I'm still going about what I see on the football field, right? So, you know, that's the big thing. And there's plenty of years where I go, oh, this guy's older and this guy's younger, but this guy plays like the older player and plays mature football, even though this guy's older. So it doesn't always mean something, right? McCarthy's young. McCarthy plays a very mature brand of football and what he learned up in Michigan under Harbaugh and the way he played. And like I was telling you before the show, they're not always easy to play quarterback the way McCarthy played. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Hey, it's 3rd and 12. Can you throw a strike for us now? Oh, yeah, no problem, coach. Thanks for for not letting me throw a ball the last half hour,
right.
but I'll throw a strike here in a big moment, no problem. Right? That's not always easy. So, you know, there definitely is a little bit of balancing. It goes into the thought process, but it's not going to be like, well, you know, this guy's film was the second best, but I'm going to knock him down and make him number four because he's 3 years older. I'm not doing that. Right. That's not what I do.
Yeah. The idea is that the 22-year-old maybe in with three more years of training
has
could
some
get
more
there.
Stuff. That
Hard to say, though, yes. right? Because in the NFL, it's like Tom Brady grew as a quarterback his entire career, right? I mean, like, he became a different quarterback
exactly
in his 30s
right.
than he was in his 20s.
And we're all talking about a four-year rental anyways, unless they prove themselves to be worthy of renting for more, right?
Yeah.
So that's the other thing, too. It's just like, sometimes when they're like, well, he's 20. He has 16 years left in him. I'm like, you're sure he's playing for you for 16 years? How about we just go with the guy we know is going to be the best in 4 or 5 years over the next 4 or 5 years, and then we'll reassess then. And I think there's some validity to that conversation, too.
Much more quarterback talk coming up in 2 days
yeah.
when Chris ranks them and then the internet goes crazy, although I don't think it's going to go crazy. It will go crazy, actually, because they always do. When you make a list, the internet talks.
Good.
And you don't even like that. You're like, get away. Stop clicking on it. I don't want it to be clickbaity. But wide receivers is also going to be a hot topic of conversation.
Because
there are a lot of good Texas athletes at this combine,
too. We kind of showed out at the combine.
Makes sense why they were where they were.
We kind of showed out. We kind of stole the show.
Xavier Worthy was awesome.
Yep.
Anastasia Williams tweets into us as it has to be more than a damn okay for Xavier Worthy. Is it Xavier or Xavier? I think it's Xavier.
Xavier.
Okay,
right.
Xavier. We're just I want to get this down. More goddamn. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. Okay, Anastasia. Yeah, you're right. It was more, when I watched that, I went like, damn. Oh, goddamn okay. That's what I said.
4-2-1-40 time bonkers. Does this jump him up a lot of teams' draft boards? So this is interesting, right? It was like you had the two segments here. You're like, dang, that really does move him up. He's got elite speed, maybe the most elite that we've ever seen. But at the same time, you look at some other guys who have run elite times at the combine.
Yeah.
You're like, I never remember him really doing much.
Yeah,
it
doesn't always work, right?
Right. So what do you think? Does this help him? Obviously, it can't really hurt him.
It does help him, of course, right? It just justifies that he was definitely. I mean, we all thought all year he was one of the most explosive players in college football. I knew going into this weekend, a lot of people were going, he could run 4.2, right?
Yeah.
And I kept going, okay, yeah. You know, but when you get into this category, it goes into a different stratosphere here. Now, hey, Reek Woolen on there, 4.26. He didn't have his best year last year, but damn, you know, we know he's been pretty good.
Yep.
Henry Ruggs, I know, unfortunately had, you know, a life-altering car accident, but seemed like he was – you know, going to be a pretty damn good player. I played with CJ 2K. He was a baller. Yeah, John Ross didn't work. DJ Turner is going to work for the Cincinnati Bengals. I promise you that. Our number two corner last year from the draft, right?
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, recent history, it hasn't worked as well. I will say, like, let me just say this. Like, Joey Galloway ran 4.1. It wasn't laser, right? So it's not a part of this, but he was pretty good. Willie Gault was on the 4x100, you know, Olympic gold medal team in 1984 Olympics, I believe.
Yeah.
He was pretty damn good, right? You know, Deion Sanders ran 4.1 something, kind of good. Darryl Green led his combine year and all that as fast as could be, pretty good. Bo Jackson also would have led his the year he came out. So I know we've kind of on a run here for whatever reason of the really ultra-fast guy has not been a good player in a while,
he's,
I guess, since the CJ2K.
165, so he's pretty thin.
Very thin. He's going to be, you know, I saw, what do you say, like one of his idols was DeSean Jackson, right? DeSean Jackson, you know, maybe similar to the guy Jalin Hyatt last year from Tennessee who the Giants took. Right, as far as just a speed guy, he's not gonna run over the middle on 3rd and 6 and be like, let me jam a ball into him in between Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, right?
Yeah.
That's not what he's gonna be. You know, he's gonna be more of the take the top off the defense, deep threat, reverses, stuff like that, and that's where he is. But you know, that was a special, special moment. I was watching it live. It was a wow moment. It really was, because that's the number one thing we all want to see every year.
Apparently, Pete has looked into it. The Texas Media Guide has him as Xavier Worthy. So
Xavier.
We're
going
to have to look into that.
But
we heard Xavier Worthy a lot this weekend. And in the rankings on NFL.com right now, he's just behind Xavier Leggett or Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
Mm.
So that's going to be – we're going to have to sort this
whole thing
out.
We got some stuff to go there.
Who's another guy that you – thought looked what? Pretty good. Tested
definitely,
very well.
Definitely. Like, I mean, so again, you know, do I know if he plays up to his 4.21 speed, right, and Xavier Worthy yet? I'm not sure. Again, you know, give me a few weeks here. When we get into the receiver rankings, I'll tell you that. I know it's not far off from that. Mm-hmm. Again, I saw enough Texas football last year to go, wait, you mean the guy who's running down the sidelines against Alabama and nobody can catch him is really fast? Yeah, I fucking knew at that moment that he was legit. I knew that the year before when he ran behind Alabama for a long pass when they played Alabama at home, right? So the speed has always been real, right? This is just different stratosphere sure. of real, and was very, very cool to see.
This is interesting from yeah. Lips Macklin Good.
Right.
For wide receivers, and I don't know if you want to talk about Leggett later yeah. on. Is that what you were pointing
well,
to before?
Well, yeah, we'll hit on him in a minute, but okay. go ahead. Let's keep
for
this
wide
going.
Receivers, do yeah. you put more value in the 10 yards or the 40? We have the splits for the 40-yard dash and the 10-yard right. split. He goes, both are valuable, but I feel like if you have elite 10 speed, you're better at getting separation at the line of scrimmage and can run better routes. Thanks as always.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting conversation. Listen, in the both worlds, you'd like both to be pretty damn good, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I guess I'd rather have the crazy 40 time, right? But I don't want to sacrifice, I'd rather have the crazy 40 time to where the 10 becomes so underwhelming. You're like, wait, well, that's not going to work, right?
Right?
Right. So
almost impossible to
yeah,
do that,
it
right?
usually is impossible. Exactly right, for the most part. The point being from Lips Macklin Good is, you know, it is important. And, you know, there is something to be gleaned by the 10-yard split. I mean, his 10-yard split was, like, special, out of this world fucking good. 1.49. Mm-hmm. Like, that's insanity and the membranity,
yeah.
right? There is things to be learned there. And, again, like, a guy like Deebo Samuel would have a great 10-yard split. He can get off the line of scrimmage. He can catch the ball. He can accelerate, right? But where that becomes, the rest of it becomes a negative, and now we only run a 10-yard split that's probably elite, but then the 40's kind of just like, it's good, right? Okay, well, that's why, you know, you like both, because we just saw in the Super Bowl, yeah, you might get off the line of scrimmage, but damn, he couldn't get open the whole game. He couldn't get open against Kansas City, because those guys were like, LeJarius Sneed was like, I'm 2/10 faster than you. I'm not, like, I don't even have to run full speed and I'm running your speed, right? I can run 90% and be like, I'm still there with you. So now I'm under control. And then when you make a break, right, I'm under control. I'm not even going full speed. So now I don't even have to turn the brakes on that hard. I can just go, instead of being like, right, I'm going full speed.
Yeah.
I'm like not even going full speed. So now I can stop and turn and go with you, right? So, you know, that's where, of course, you like both. But that would be a good example of a guy that doesn't have a great 40 time, right, good one, but probably had a really good 10-yard split. And, you know, that's where, you know, sometimes the rubber can meet the road there because, yeah, no, we're not seeing Deebo Samuel just run by people and catch 60-yard bombs because he doesn't have that kind of long speed.
I thought it was really illuminating, too, right. when NFL Network did the ghost runner, too, where they kind of superimposed one guy
John
over another
Ross
guy.
John Ross and Xavier?
They did that. Well, yeah. And
oh,
he was because
he
him.
Beat him easily on the
he
10,
did.
Right?
He,
that was shocking.
So, and also in showing the difference between, because my mom was there. I was watching with my mom. Yeah. They came over, and my son right. was, he's super into it now, and so he was watching it. And she was like, oh, those are, come on, 4.3, 4.45. Does it really matter? And I was, and they showed the difference between a 4.3 and like a 4.45, and it was about 2 yards, maybe even 2.5 yards,
right?
And which is crazy after 40 yards, and you're like, okay, that's a deep bomb, but that's significant. That's 2 yards of separation. That's the difference between a touchdown and getting it knocked away
exactly
by the
right.
DB.
Exactly right. Or you got the ball in your hand and you get tackled at the 2-yard line. Now we don't get in the end zone because they made a goal line stand.
Yeah,
and the other guy's in the end zone. Right?
Right?
And it's going, as fuck, it's a touchdown. We're already on there. They're having a Gatorade on the side.
Yeah.
The other one's going, oh, shit, I got tackled at the 2. Now it's second down. Oh, shit, now it's 3rd down. We didn't punch it in, and we didn't score a touchdown. Or we had to settle for a field goal, whatever. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there is a difference. There's no doubt about that. Let alone, I think it goes into the play of, like, what we're talking about. That guy who does, like you're talking about, runs 4.2, and he's covering the guy that runs 4.5, right? He doesn't have to run full speed to cover that guy. And now, therefore, his body is way more under control and he's ready to make side-to-side movements and do all that. So it does matter. Now, right, where, like, let's talk about some of the other guys. Like,
yes.
Rome Odunze.
Yes.
Right? Great combine. Great combine. One, we talked about the personality, which is going to blow everybody away. Two, right, okay, he's 6'3". You know, I think he was a hair under 6'3", 6'2", and 7'8", whatever, but 6'3". He was 214 pounds or something like that, right? He ran 4.45 or 4.46, whatever. I think I'm in the general range there, right? That's a damn good time, one, for that guy that size. But the other part of it is I'd go, well, damn, right? Like, holy cow. Okay, the size is elite. The person's elite, okay, right? And now you go into, you start to look into the context of the workout, right? And I go, ooh, 1-5-2 split, that's a special split. So here's a guy that's going to be able to get off the line of scrimmage and accelerate. Ooh, 6-8-8 cone drill for somebody that size is incredible. That tells you he's got hips. He can jam his foot in the ground and cut and change directions. So he's going to be able to run routes, right? So he's big, right? He's got good speed. I know it's not great speed, but he's got good great acceleration and explosion, 39-inch vertical, and then has the ability to change directions and have loose hips, is what the three-cone drill and the 20-yard shuttle show you. That, to me, was an elite workout, right? I didn't expect him to run 4.3 or 4.22. But he's got Davante Adams-ish type qualities, except I think he's more explosive than Davante Adams was coming out. So that's that he had a killer day. So I'm excited for him. And that's where, again, you know, hey, the 10-yard split was more impressive than the 40-yard dash, right? The other guys we got to hit on, and this to me is the guy that's totally – I mean, this is where I'm really excited for receiver talk.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who came second in the 40 on the wide receiver group, who was 45 pounds heavier than Xavier Worthy.
So that's Brian Johnson.
Exactly.
So Xavier Worthy ran
Brian Thomas Jr.
What did I say?
You said Johnson.
Okay, Brian
Johnson.
Thomas Jr. Xavier Worthy was 4.21. Brian Thomas Jr. was 4.33.
And look at his 10 on the right.
And his 10 was 1.5, so just a hundredth of a second slower
right.
than the fastest out there.
Right, right.
At a bigger size.
6'3", 209. He's 44 pounds heavier than Xavier Worthy, right? Listen, again, I haven't done receivers, but that shit's impressive those times for that mm-hmm. size and weight, right, to run that. And just watching Jaden Daniels, man, this kid caught my eye a lot. I mean, a lot. I mean, I kept looking at this kid, and, you know, this is probably going to cause people to plagiarize my rankings already or whatever, but just to go off the quick look of watching Jaden Daniels, like, are we sure this guy isn't in the class with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Odunze and Dunes and Neighbors? Are we sure about that? Because, I mean, I'm watching this guy, and I'm going, am I watching A.J. Brown or am I watching Brian Thomas Jr.?
Hmm.
Like, that's what I kept saying. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. So he killed it. He got kind of screwed over by Xavier Worthy. Like, if it's not Xavier Worthy breaking the record, I think if even Xavier Worthy runs 4.23, we're talking about Brian Thomas Jr. today as the guy that stole the show
wow.
at that size and all that. But since he broke the record, that changed it. So he certainly popped. And then, you know, like you talked about, Xavier Leggett, I think that's how you say it. That's another one that was kind of eye-popping. First off, I mean, he's built like an Adonis, right?
6'1", 221.
Right. I mean, it's thick. That's like a power running back. Look at his – I mean, you see his neck and his body.
Yeah.
But then to run 4.39, right, with a 1.54 split, to have that type of body and thickness and all that, wow. I mean, how could I not be impressed by him? I thought he was another guy that certainly just looked the part, right, let alone have the explosive ability to do that. Love the Florida receiver, Ricky Pearsall,
yep.
right? I thought he was impressive. I think Roman Wilson from Michigan is going to surprise people when it's all said and done.
I was surprised at the speed of the Michigan receivers because they had Roman Wilson.
And the kid from Greenwich, Connecticut here, number 6, Cornelius
Johnson. Yeah, there was the Johnson that
right.
I was looking for.
Yeah.
They were both faster than I thought they were going to be because Michigan's passing offense was not that dynamic,
no.
right? It was like they ran the ball. They didn't need to. That was their identity to run the ball, but they had – I was
but
like,
we
maybe
saw
they just
Alabama
don't have weapons.
Game. You saw Roman Wilson starting to separate, like, you know, from the Alabama guys and, like, a lot of play by play basis.
He can play, made a lot of big plays.
Yeah.
But yeah. So they were faster than I thought they
were. I think
they
are. I think to your point, I think you're saying it right. I don't think their offense necessarily set them up to show it off all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? To where, you know, again, Jim was one of those guys that was like, yeah, we might be able to throw a 50-yard bomb here, but we can definitely run up the middle for 7. So
yeah.
let's just run the fuck up the middle for 7, right? That's kind of where they are, which it hurts them in the big picture of things. But, you know, him And then, you know, even a guy like Ladd McConkey running 4.39.
I like
that. Of course, that was going to be questioned there. Just like, wait, he's, you know, white guy receiver. Can he really run like that? You know, him and Ricky Pearsall, they ended that conversation right away and showed that they're made to play slot receiver in the NFL.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
So we're going to be talking about wide receivers for a lot, and it's getting to the point where it's like there are so many wide receivers, and I feel like we've said this the last, I don't know, if last year, the year before.
We
it's
did.
Just like there are a ton of wide receivers out there.
Uh-huh.
And we're getting to the point where you're like, there's so many wide receivers, and everyone's like, oh, they're all going to get paid. I was like, is that really true? Yeah. I was like, I almost feel like the opposite now, because you can wait until second round, and you're like, that dude is a first-round talent or can do things that a first-rounder can do.
I think it's going to devalue it as a whole, like you're saying.
Has to at
some
point.
I don't think, though, where I think it'll be different than running backs is I don't – if you made me guess, I don't think the top-end guys will be devalued. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a like, wait, Justin Jefferson – receivers grow on tree, but Justin Jefferson doesn't.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Tyreek Hill doesn't. Right? You know, that group right there, Jamar Chase does not grow on a tree. Like, that's where those would be the ones, right, where we see all Tennessee make a mistake and go, no, you should have paid A.J. Brown and not drafted Treylon Burke. You made a mistake. You had one of the unicorn receivers. You don't let that fucking go, right?
Yeah.
Right? So where I can see that. But then it's the other ones that I think it's going to fall. Like, ooh, he's a really good number two. All right, but we could find a number two and a number three in the draft for sure, right? And I think that's where it's going to get valued or devalued,
yeah.
I guess.
That
we'll
makes
see.
Sense.
I just a theory I have. I haven't thought about it a ton.
I think a lot of teams will think that this think year, it. Right, that need a good number two receiver and don't really want to pay for it. It'll be like, we can find it in the draft.
I think so. It sounds like it. It looked like it. That there's a lot of good-looking depth to be had here in this draft.
People are saying that about offensive line as well. I didn't watch a whole lot of the offensive
either.
Line workouts here, but we do have
either.
The measurements.
Yeah.
You can learn stuff from the measurement. So let's take a look at how they measured in. Joe Alt has been talked about as the number one tackle out of Notre Dame. He measured at 6'9", 321 pounds. Olu Fashanu was 6'6", out of Penn State, 312. So as we take a look at these heights and weights, Amarius Mims, I know for Georgia, got hurt, but he was 6'8", 340. Got some big dudes here.
That's where I asked Pete and you to go, like, let's talk about them a little bit. I didn't watch the full workout for the O-lineman. You know, in a lot of ways, it was Sunday. I was there all week. I'm sorry. But this is where I wanted to come up with. I was watching the start, right? So I saw these guys, one, right? And this is where the look test a little bit. But so I saw them, and I went, goddamn, okay. I went, holy shit. Like, every one of these guys looks the part, right? So then, you know, as we're sitting there watching the combine, they start to put up, like, oh, he's 6'8". So I'm going, oh, damn. So everyone measured into, like, franchise left tackle mold, like, billing. So then I, you know, I go to NFL.com and I pull up, you know, hey, the page that Lance Zierlein does such a great job of kind of laying things out there because it has all the official measurements. And the reason I wanted to talk about it, one, I've been told about how talented the group is and that we this could be a year 6 to 8 offensive linemen in the first round. But two, you know, one, like, okay, whoa, they're all 6'4". Whoa, they're all 6'5". They're all 6'6". Whoa. Like, there's no 295-pound guy. They're all, like, 320-plus, which, you know me, I'm kind of a believer in a tackle. I've kind of gotten done with that, oh, he's athletic and he can do this. Like, I want a fucking big beast to tackle on both sides. Yeah, you know, guys that are so fucking big, I don't care who you are, you're like, oh, my gosh, right? And so that's where you start to look at J.C. Latham from Alabama, and I go, damn, his body looks good. What? 6'6", 342? Over 35-inch arms, right? Arm length is a huge thing for tackles in football. It's huge. So that, okay, well, okay, that was a good one. All right, let me look at, you know, Oluwayo Fashanu, right? I'm sorry, I'm still learning
Olu
the name.
Fashanu. Olu Fashanu,
you're right.
Don't even worry about the last
part. I go, let me look at,
oh,
shit, he's 6'6", oh, 312, 34-inch arms, right? So I'm going, damn, there's another one. He fits the mold. Okay, Joe Walt, I mean, he's Notre Dame guy. Of course he does. But is he one of these tall guys that doesn't have long arms? Whoa, 34 1/4, 6'9", 321. Holy shit, another one, right? So it just kind of kept going down the list. Our guy Troy Fontenot, right, from Washington. You know, I watched him early in the year when I did the Washington game. Awesome left tackle. There was talk of, ooh, maybe he's a better guard. I don't know. At 6'4", 317 with 34.5-inch arms now, he'll be looked at a little differently to go, wait, not only did he never give up any sacks or nobody gets there, he's actually got the NFL build to be that and the footwork. So, you know, overall, and again, I haven't watched these guys on film at all yet, but there's something to be gleaned about. You know, one, okay, is the film good? But two, now does the sign, does the size of the body and the human translate to that position in the NFL, right? We've seen guys at tackle in college football, and they go, oh, he's pretty good at tackle. But, you know, you start to go, well, you know, he's a little undersized. His arms aren't long enough, right? As much as I say, hey, it's good at tackle, like, it's not going to work in the NFL. I've been around the NFL to know that that body mold, that short arm guy, it just won't work. The first time he has to face a Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, what's the big deal about the arm? Like, why does that
matter?
There's
two things it does.
Couple inches matter?
It stops the defensive lineman from getting into your body. That's the first thing, right? Like, Micah Parsons wants to be able to full speed put his head in your chest because once he does that, he knows, I got you. I'm powerful. I hit you now with a lot of exertion and force, and now you're going to move back.
Yeah.
But if you got long arms and you could stop him before he gets there, and now you don't allow his arms to get on your body to pull you around, right? You got the advantage, right? Like a really good Lane Johnson so many times is just, oh, and he's got a guy like just like this. And you're like, the guy looks like, you know, how you would have like your 4-year-old kid when you hold the top of his head and he's trying to, he can't hit you still, right? That's what a really good left tackle does. And all of a sudden, like Nick Bosa and Micah Parsons are like, get off me, I can't get free, right? So that's where the long arm is. And here's the other thing. You're going around the edge like Micah Parsons, right? I got the edge. I got the edge. Ooh, I'm about to go around, right? I got the guy beat with my body and his body. I got him, right? But then it's like, oh, well, fucking Orlando Brown's got 9-foot-long arms. I thought I was around him, and then he got his damn arm out on me and pushed me, and he pushed me by the quarterback. So I beat him, but I didn't get the sack, and he pushed me by because that extra arm length helped him push me by. And even though I had him beat, it didn't happen. And that's really – that's where it's really valuable for tackles, right? And then, again, the Tyler Guyton kid from Oklahoma had it. So – that's where I'm excited, and I think that's where the draft community, certainly, like, there's 6 or 8 guys. Not only must be the film must be good, but we're seeing, like, key body parts that fit franchise tackle left mold, and that's why I just wanted to talk about them a little bit because that's going to be interesting as we go forward here. Look at
so here
look
is,
at
so
this is
so
hilarious.
The combine does the official measurements. We at NBC Sports like to do the Connor Rogers measurements. So like stand next to Connor, who's not a tall man.
No.
You know, it's like but against
when you're like 6'9",
none of us look tall.
Nobody
right?
looks tall,
and Connor's really not that short. So it's like here, who is this? Is this
Joe Alt?
Joe Alt.
Yeah.
This is Joe Alt. Okay, at 6'9". Compared to Connor. I mean, actually, Connor looks pretty good there for This is Amarius Mims from
that's
Georgia.
That's amazing.
Here.
That's amazing right there.
So that's yeah.
That looks
when
like
you,
it's
when
like,
you look that much bigger. I mean,
hey,
that's
Connor's our ninth grade Jets fan from Long Island. He came here to
earn the right to ask right? one question right. to an NFL
Do
draft
you
prospect.
Like peanut butter and jelly?
Well, I mean, but here's Mim standing next to the media. So it's like, actually, this picture makes Connor look giant because everyone else looks even smaller here.
I mean, yeah, this guy.
They're a different breed of, it's a different type of human.
This 6'8", this is 340, that's 36 and an eighth arm, right? Those are the guys that I tell you, even me, who's 6'5", 235 or whatever, you don't even want to play with those guys. Like, those are the guys, like, in the locker room every now and then, you, like, push or mess around with a little bit, and then they push you back or they hit you once, and you're like, oh, that hurt. Like, I'm never going to play with you again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm never going to mess with you ever. Like, that's it. That's those kind of people. I know Connor had a great week. Connor was great with the old linemen. You need to see Connor next to Tavondre Sweat from Texas, right? Because Tavondre, not as tall, but so thick at 360 pounds. That was a funny picture as well.
Yeah, Connor got a lot of interviews too, and they're all on your interviews with Mike, Connor's interviews there. I saw Matthew Berry there too, all on our NBC YouTube page, which is NFL on NBC if you want to do that. So those are the big butts on the offensive side. You know we got to give some love to the big butts on the defensive side. And with that, we have our Big Butt of the Combine Awards.
Woo!
It is
we
that time.
Lie. Big Butts and we cannot lie.
The Big Butt of the Week.
Oh.
Time to give some love to these big guys.
Some tushes.
There's a couple sacks, forced fumble.
He's a butting superstar.
Woo!
Give it to him, Ahmed.
One butt cheek.
And this is why you're the Big Butt expert of the world right now.
Woo! Expert, I couldn't be there. I had to do it off tape. I had to do it off the combine. Not ideal, but we'll see if you can confirm some of these two. And this is not necessarily the size of the butt yet. It's how they performed in combine situations.
I got you.
So my defensive tackle, big butt of the combine, that goes to the Florida State guy, Braden Fisk. Ran the fastest 40 time for any interior defensive lineman, 4.78. And at the end of it, he made a bit. He was like, oh, yeah. So he knew he ran a good one there. Also put up the top broad jump, vertical jump there. So his athletic profile scores, like they add it all up, put it into a computer, and then say, okay, how does everyone else stack up against you? He was sixth out of 1,620.
Wow.
Since these are all interior defensive linemen. Right. They've been adding this up since 1987. He was number six, had a huge week at the Senior Bowl a couple weeks ago. Everyone was
killing
raving
the
about him,
process.
About him.
Killing it.
Only knock on him,
right?
Short arms.
Right.
He's in the first percentile for arm length. Is that as bad for a defensive lineman as it would be for an offensive lineman?
No, it's not. It's not as bad, and especially interior D lineman, right? But where it'll hurt him a little bit is maybe some of the teams that play two-gap defensive tackle, right? The guy that goes like, hey, I'm just going to stand you up, and then I'm responsible for the gap either way. Teams that play those type of defenses aren't going to love him, right? Because of the same thing we just talked about, you know, with offensive tackles, it's very important for those type of guys to be able to lock their arms out and kind of control people that way, right? So for that, he'll probably be more in a 4-3 scheme because of that. Unless he shows just incredible strength on film, and all of a sudden it's like, well, his arms are short, but he tosses everybody around. It doesn't matter.
He's able to get in there with his power.
It does. He's so strong that we can overlook, you know, the arms being an inch or two shorter than you'd like him to be prototypically, right?
But
to your point, everything else was phenomenal.
It's two big camps in a row for rookie prospects where he has been the talk of it.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So I'm definitely – and for this – he was the first wow of the whole combine. Let's just give him that too. I mean, that was what, Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
Thursday night, he was the first guy. Everyone was like, ooh, whoa, did you see the Florida State kid, right? So to do that, to move the way he did, Florida State, like you talked about with Texas, you could see why they were good this year. I mean, they had a receiver that, you know, big Keon Coleman looked good in drills. He didn't run a great 40. The running back looked damn good. Jared Verse, the pass rusher, was one of the best, most impressive physical specimens, you know, top 20, 25 pick, it sounds like, right? He, to go along with it, yeah, he was he was definitely one of the stars of night one.
On the edge, that one goes to Alabama's Dallas Turner. So he did not need to work out. He was one of those that took my quote of, that's not what ships were built for. And he was like, I'm going to go out there. I know I'm going to dominate. And he did. He had the best vertical jump of any defensive lineman or linebacker because they all worked out together. He had the second best broad jump of any prospect on Thursday. Second best 40 of the day. They showed on NFL Network him running the 40 along with Derrick Henry and Jalen Hurts, some Alabama guys, and Dallas beat him.
He beat him.
He beat both of those guys.
Right.
And what I liked almost as much as all that is that when you were talking to him and you go, you had to be the most freakiest athlete on your team, right? He was like, huh? He's like, we had some freaks out there. And he went on to legit name check the entire team.
He named the whole freaking team.
He said the whole team by name, which was really cool. Because I think a lot of people could just be like, yeah, I was the freakiest guy. Because he probably was.
Right.
But he wanted to take that moment to give love to all the rest of his teammates, to your point about that personality, bringing out the best in everyone around him.
Yep.
So all of it, the total package, I am in love with Dallas Turner, and he showed out at the combine.
Yeah, definitely. Superstar personality like we talked about. Yeah. And then, like, one of those, again, where you see him in person and you go, oof, that body just screams, I'm a freak athlete, right? It has a look of, like, you know, freaky middle linebacker that's longer, right? Mm-hmm. That's what a pass rusher, like, of him status could look like. Von Miller-ish. I remember the first time I saw Von Miller, I just went, damn, that looks powerful and compact, and holy shit, it looks like he could do anything he wants physically, right? That's the way Dallas Turner looked, right? It was easy 247, right? Easy, right? And then just had the legs, you know, the waist, the long arms where you went, ooh, watch out. And, you know, I didn't even realize I missed him running the 40 on Thursday night because I saw him do the vertical and then I went, oh, I guess he must have skipped the 40. He's doing the vertical. He must have skipped it. And Pete actually got in my ear on Friday morning. He's like, no, Dallas Turner did run the 40. He's like, he ran 4.46. And I was like, holy crap, did he really? Right? So, yes, he is one. And I believe he's a Florida boy, which I will always say, the Florida boys, man, when the lights go on, nobody shows up like the Florida boys. And I feel like he was just like, hey, I'm going to show you what I got, right? And he totally solidifies himself as the top two, if not the top pass rusher off the board.
You know, a lot of people say, and for good reason, this is a good draft if you're a team in the NFL that needs a quarterback or needs a wide receiver or needs an offensive lineman. And people have said that the top 10 picks could all be offensive players. But that just means that if you're a team that needs defense, when have you ever been able to get the best defensive player at pick 10 or 11?
Yeah.
Right? Are really none of these – because
rare years.
Like
rare
Dallas
years.
Turner, right. In some years, would be a top five pick. Yes? No? I mean, we haven't looked at the film yet.
I know. It's hard
we'll
for
wait
me.
On that.
It's hard for me to tell, but.
But I find it hard to believe that none of these guys, if offense goes the first 10 picks, that none of these defensive guys are worthy of, in some years, being a top 10 pick.
Yeah,
right?
No. I hear you.
So if
I,
you're a team
have
that
a hard...
wants to trade up, like the Detroit Lions, you know, now you only have to trade up to 12 to get an elite defensive player.
I have
player.
A hard time believing that. Yeah, and I would think that we've seen guys less talented than Dallas Turner drafted in the top 10 on the defensive side of the ball before. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes, right? I mean, when you said that, the first time I was thinking I was going – when does that happen? Like Micah Parsons, I feel like that happened to him, but because he didn't play COVID year, right? So he kind of dropped him
a
little bit.
Yes.
You know, you watch film and you're like, this guy's definitely one of the five best players in the draft. Why?
There were some like red flags on
potential.
Yeah,
or
was
he stand-up linebacker? Is he a DN?
The
COVID
stuff.
There was a little bit of everything, right? But it'll be interesting to see where this shakes out on this stuff.
What about those big butts, the DTs, the edges that you saw? You've mentioned a couple. Leatu Latu.
Yes. Like, just, again, had a great, superstar personality, different type of body, right, than like, Dallas Turner. One where I was like, wait, I know he's not going to run 4.4. I knew that, right? You know.
4.64. So some were disappointed by that.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what, you know, he is. The 10-yard split, 1.62, I wish that was a little bit better. I wasn't shocked by the 4.6, but I also think, like, his game is not necessarily just all outright explosion, right? That's where I looked at his body and went, ooh, it's a Max Crosby-ish body, right? And what I mean by that is not jacked and not necessarily like, oh my gosh, he's got muscles popping out of his brain everywhere, right? More of like, hey, this guy's got a big frame, right? He's got big square shoulders, and he's athletic and loose looking, right? And for him to be 260 was easy, right? It's easy. Like, he looks like if you spent like 2 or 3 weeks with him, you're like, let's bodybuild and just get – he would put it on easy, right? Mm. But I think that's where he's going to be different. It's going to be more of the total package. It's not going to be, oh, wow, look at that get-off. Oh, wow, he's the most explosive guy. I think it's going to be, oh, he's explosive. Ooh, he won with power. Ooh, that was a nice spin move. Ooh, he set the guy up this way. Ooh, this guy plays play after play after play. The one thing we learn in this draft process, and Pete will tell you, Mike Flory will tell you, we asked all the pass rushers, who's the guy they want to – Max Crosby.
They all want to be Max Crosby.
Everybody. Max Crosby by far. Like 9 out of every 10 pass rushers was Max Crosby. Who's the guy you look at in the NFL you want to be like? Max Crosby, right? Now, there's two things that we answered. The pass rushers want to be like Max Crosby. The DBs, the receivers, and the guys who sack the quarterback – all want Mahomes. That's the two things we learned.
Yeah, yeah.
Pass rushers, it was overwhelmingly Max Crosby.
Why do you think that is?
One, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Got a cool personality and style.
Totally.
Two, I think he's the poster child for a young guy right now because his motor is nonstop, right? So that's what a college coach, that's what a young NFL coach is going to try to preach to anybody, right? I want you 65 plays, pedal to the metal, right? We don't ever give up on any play. It's just absolute, you know, to the wall every play, right? So I think that's kind of beating their brain too. So I think it's a little bit of both. I did wonder sometimes, like, is that a rehearsed answer? Because they know coaches are like hearing Max Crosby because he's got a great motor. I did. That definitely went through my head, right? But, yeah, we learned that. And all of them want to sack Patrick Mahomes, everybody.
What'd you think of Chop Robinson? Because he tested well. And
yes,
I think
he did.
People thought he would test well because he is that kind of freak. The question was his production at Penn State. You'll have to look at the tape. You know, what system were they running? I mean, I think they ran a system that tried to accentuate his strengths, but he was not always that productive, got hurt towards the end of the year too, but he tested well.
I'll be interested to see him on film. I mean, I knew going into the process, explosive, you know, athlete was part of this, right? Now, I will say too, compared to some of the other pass rushers, his body was a little different, right? It was a little more narrow. He was a little more narrow in the thigh and hip area than maybe Dallas Turner or Latu was, right? Or some of the – or Jared Verse, who had incredible thighs and legs there, right? So that'll be it. But I knew going into it, everybody kept telling me Chop Robinson's going to put up a really good time. He's an explosive athlete. I can't speak to the lack of production and all that. And, again, that's, you know – context. I got to look at it. You know college football. You could play some teams and go, damn, the quarterback never held the ball the whole game. Every throw was screen, inside zone, screen, quick pass, slant, screen. And it's just like, well, damn, I don't, you know, you could have Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White on the field. Neither one are going to get sacked today, right? Yeah. So I don't know what plays into that, but I know I'm excited to evaluate him.
And what'd you think about your two Texas big guys down front, Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat?
I mean, Tavondre Sweat, I didn't get to meet him in person. I saw him in the room at one point, and he's gigantic. And that's just the first thing that jumps out to you. But watching him, I mean, that was impressive. Again, to be that big and move that way, special. Byron Murphy was without a doubt one of my favorite people we met in the whole process last week. Again, that personality, the confidence in himself, the build, right? I mean, he's just as dense as you could get for 305 pounds, right? He's 6'1 and change, you know. And then you watch him, you know, run through the bags and do some of that stuff. Like, you know, he's got feet like a first and second down running back in the NFL. At 305, so he was special and definitely one of, I think, the defensive tackles who stole the show on Thursday night.
All right, let's clip off some more players that impressed you, made you say damn okay, maybe got damn okay.
Yeah.
And made the homies say the same thing. Let's roll. I think we have the music.
Damn.
Do we have it?
Okay.
Damn. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes.
I'm okay.
The legal gambolizing.
Oh, baby. I am Chris Sims. Okay. Damn. Okay.
It's about, I feel like, you know, we got the...
Hey, I'm Chris Sims. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah, so proud. Mm-hmm. Proudly proclaiming. And the damn okay. It's almost time we come up with a new song, right? We're almost getting to that point.
You want a new one? You want something new? Like a new phrase? I guess that happened organically.
It did.
Just because I used to be like, I mean, damn. Okay. Nate Wiggins or damn. Okay. You know, whatever it is.
Let's be on the lookout for
So you guys
got to
tell
here.
Me what I say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and more times than not. More times than not, it'll probably be swear word, right?
Yeah, so, that's a problem, right. You know. And I don't know that, you know, NBC, we're 5 years in, but do they?
And we can go damn okay. How about like this fucking guy?
Yeah, right?
You like that one?
We've come a long way in 5 years. I don't think we've come that far.
Okay, damn it.
Damn okay for you, Quinyon Mitchell for the Toledo. What's their mascot?
We don't know. They're not good enough to know their mascot.
I should know that.
I should know too. I played with guys that went to Toledo. I can't remember. It's
Rockets.
Something like Rockets.
Yeah, there it is.
It's some.
My gosh.
You know, tons of Rockets in Toledo.
He was
Ohio.
A Rocket.
You didn't know there was tons of Rockets there.
Yeah, there's some story to that. He had three Rockets when
up
he
his
ran
ass.
When he ran the 40. Yeah. He had the fastest time until Wiggins went after him and then hurt his hip flexor. But there's a lot of talk that he could be the guy that if you want a corner, maybe you will have to take him in the top 10 because he could be that.
He seems to be the guy that, as I talk to people, not only in the NFL, even the draft experts, everybody, the kind of everyone thinks Quinyon Mitchell is the top corner in the draft, right? And then, of course, has the measurables and stuff that you want to go along with it. 6 feet, 195, right? But, again, 4.33, 1.51 split, right? Those are special times. There's no doubt about that. I'll be excited to watch him because he definitely got the look and the swag of a guy that I go, ooh, I like that kind of corner right there, right? So he definitely helped himself in the combine on, what was that, Saturday?
Yeah.
That might have been Friday.
Carmageddon, yeah, Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Carmageddon 4, his damn okay is, how about Wiggins?
Yeah.
Run a 4.28 40-yard dash, but had the second slowest 10-yard split at 1.59. Does that even make sense,
he says? It's rare to be that far different, right? To be like, I have the fastest 40 other than Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
And then yet, you know, my 10 is like a tenth slower than Xavier Worthy.
And part of that, too, it's like, wow, that's just the way he is. No, part of it could be you just didn't do it that well.
He might not have had a good day getting out, right?
And that speaks to how fast he is if he had a bad start, and then still ran a 4.28.
Right, so he can improve that, right? Did he get a good start, all that? I don't know. He is a longer guy, right? Well, so I'm not surprised to see a little bit more of a built-up speed that way. Right? And that's where, he's probably not made for the slot. Again, I haven't watched film, but as you know, slot guys are usually really quick and have great acceleration. That's why they're in the slot. They can deal with those jitterbugs. This guy's on the outside, and, you know, it's Justin Jefferson trying to run by me in a 9 route? Okay, watch me open up. I'll run right with him on that 9 route, right? So that's where, you know, I think this guy, you know, look, that's where he's going to be an outside longer corner that will go up against the outside, longer, speedy type of wide receiver. But I know just from watching a little of these quarterbacks and all that, my man can play some man-to-man, that's for sure. So I'll be excited to see if that 10-yard split matches with what we see on the field.
Someone that made you say damn okay, and also all those in attendance at that big attended Saturday workout at the
Combine.
That was
cool,
right?
Rich
Eisen saying it was the most fans they've ever seen there. And you said you were there on Thursday, and there were like nobody there.
Yeah.
There was like no fans.
No.
Like the lower bowl, half of it was filled, and they were cheering when Illinois tight end Tip Reiman did the blocking sled and pushed it like 10 yards down the field, farther than every other prospect that was trying to do the same thing.
Hey, I mean, there were some good guys in the tight end group, certainly looked the part, had a few good times, right? But one, right, tight end is a position about size and physicality more times than not. This guy's old school, but he caught my eye. One, to run 4.64 and have a 1.55 split. He had a better split than the corner we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
Nate Wiggins, who ran 4.28. But he weighs 271. He weighs 100 pounds more, you know, or 95 pounds more. Yeah, that was impressive. You know, the three-cone drill, let alone his head looks like it's made of stone, okay? And I say that with all due respect, Mr. Reiman, right? I'm not going to mess with you, but he looks like you're Gronkish type of tight end, right?
Yeah.
It might not be Travis Kelce sexy, but he's crushing people in the run game, and then he's catching balls down the middle of the field, and people are bouncing off him. Those guys usually translate to the NFL.
It's a square head. It's very right? like Fred, Barney Rubble, Flintstone.
It is out of a cave. Yeah. Like, it is out of a cave, and that's how I like my tight end's heads, okay? So, he caught my eye for sure. I definitely want to give him some love, but to be that size, and I know he's old school, blocking tight end, and then to move like that, he's going to be one that, you know, I'd be shocked if we're not talking about him when it comes to that tight end position.
That whole tight end group, we will talk about it. It's not getting the glitz and glamour, and running back position's not getting that glitz and glamour this year too. But Ben Money Morris says, damn, okay, Tennessee running back Jalen Wright, can't wait to hear your thoughts on this running back class. Yeah. I know there aren't any superstars, but I feel like there's value later in the draft, and Wright is a home run hitter.
I told Pete before, because I know we're going to hit more on, there are no superstar running backs, but damn, a lot of good-looking, like, bodies, right? And maybe it's not the year where we got, you know, the guy that runs 4.2 like Saquon or anything like that. But the one thing I saw, I mean, Jalen Wright, I know his times are impressive, is just a lot of good bodies and a lot of good guys where I'd go, you know, just look tests. Right? I want to go, this is going to translate to the NFL, right? This is like, there's a lot of bigger, powerful guys, it feels like, so far in this running grad class, instead of like maybe the smaller CJ2K, J.K. Dobbins, right, type of guys.
Right.
A little bit more of like guys that, yeah, might not have those kind of like college highlight runs, but in the NFL, we're going to be like, whoa, man, that was an impressive 8-yard run. Whoa, he broke 3 tackles and got 12 yards, right? You know, that's where I feel like this group, whether it's the Texas kid, Jonathan Brooks, the Trey Benson from Florida State, the Marshawn Lloyd from USC, right? Bodies that were thick and physical. I guess that's the thing that jumped out to me. The kid from Wisconsin, right?
Braylon
like,
Allen.
What? Like, you couldn't fucking pay me to tackle him. No way. I'm definitely going to have a broken neck vertebrae after that's done, right? There was guys like that. Even, you know, Blake Corum. Might not be the sexiest 80-yard touchdown runs, but he ran a good time. That was definitely good for him. And I know he's got power and moves, and he's made for the NFL, right? I feel like there's a little bit of that in this class where it might not be first-rounders, but we're sitting here 2 or 3 years from now going, you know, that running back class, there's a bunch starting in the NFL right now, and they're damn good, right? I feel like I saw a lot of bodies I liked. Let me just say that.
I do think that's why the running backs and the debate on why is salary depressed, and it's just a very brutal position. I do think that's definitely part of it, is that you don't know which one of these guys, talented or not, is going to stay healthy enough to be useful for you.
Right.
And so why invest a whole lot in it? But also it's just that you know that there's talent here. You just don't know exactly where it's going to pop in the
NFL.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Or where it translates.
Like, I don't know where to make my bet.
Here. I know.
It's like Isaiah Pacheco, late draft.
I know.
It's like, now you look at him, you're like, well, there it was. You know, it's really hard at this position just because the injury concern is such a wild card, first of all.
And you don't know how people are going to be able to handle the uptick in physicality and size of people in the NFL, right? You're going to have guys where we're going, college football, this guy could break a tackle every now and then. They're going to get in the NFL and we're going to go, it's the first guy that hits him, he goes down right there every time, right? And then we're going to have a guy where we're going to go, he wasn't that sexy or great in college football, right? But then you're going to get to the NFL and go, well, damn, but when Bobby Wagner hits him, he goes 5 more yards with Bobby Wagner. Or they bounce off of him and he gets tough yards, right? So that's where the running back position, you know, to your point, is hard to gauge sometimes. And it can be different. Kyren Williams, you know, we saw some big plays at Notre Dame, right? I get that and all that, but it wasn't like, wow. Right? Getting the NFL, you go, his acceleration, his physicality, his ability to break tackles, he's one of the best running backs in football.
Right?
And I wouldn't have said that when he was coming out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But now I have no doubt in my mind. Like, I'd go, Christian McCaffrey, okay, we could say he's the number one running back in football. Like, you heard me say at the end of the year, I thought that Kyren Williams is the second best running back in the league right now. I would give him that mantle. And, you know, that's where to your point again, where was Kyren Williams drafted? Fifth round? Something like that?
Right.
Right? So that's where it's tough. It really is.
Jahmyr Gibbs, though, was good as a first rounder.
That's right.
That's why it always goes back and forth.
That's right.
Can you identify it? Do you have a good system
Rockets
for that player?
Rockets up your ass usually are identifiable, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, his size is pretty good, but he's got rockets up his ass. We can see that. That'll work, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And every team kind of looks at it differently, which is the magic and beauty of the NFL. Yep. There's no one way to do it. All right, let's do a couple more here. Chris, I don't even know when we started. Are there any here? Let's do Joe Milton and then any more that maybe catch
Joe
your eye.
Joe Milton, I'll be excited to watch
him. Mark Floyd, any initial thoughts on Joe Milton after the combine? Obviously, he has a cannon for an arm, but I haven't heard a ton of draft buzz. So he throws it easy 70 yards, it seems like.
Doesn't even look like he has to try.
Heard rumors he can throw it 80.
I think he could throw it 80. Remember the few throws I saw at the Manning Passing Academy this past summer?
Yeah.
I think he threw some that were 80 there.
Yeah.
Right? So I just don't know. I didn't see Tennessee enough this year to know if he can really play quarterback yet, right? I know his arm's special, but certainly one of those guys that has my attention to go, you know me, I love to find the guy that might be a mid-round guy where I go, he's got some superstar qualities, right? You know, that's the kind of guy I look for to be my third string backup or whatever. So we'll see. That's certainly, you know, Spencer Rattler. I know we had the question from At Lobs All Day.
Okay. I have not heard you talk about Spencer Rattler.
Right.
I have Rattler up there with Caleb and Jaden. Have you seen his tape? What do you think? Also, why are you low on Penix? Thanks. This is what I like about draft season.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to do it too, because why not? We all have our list. We all have our board. You know, well, on my board, he's like seven. I don't know where you got it. So Lobs All Day, I appreciate the hustle that you too have a draft board.
Yeah, I'm not low on Penix. I feel like I'm the guy all year that was going, why isn't Penix in the conversation with Caleb Williams and Drake May? So I'm not low on Penix at all. I'm a big Michael Penix fan, just so you know that at Lobs All Day. Now, I don't think he's Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, and I certainly don't think that Spencer Rattler is. I'm sorry about that. I like Spencer Rattler, right? He definitely got better at South Carolina. He knows how to play the position. You know, his throwing, when I watched that on College Football Saturdays this past year, definitely got better, right? I'm not blown away by it, though. One, you know, the athlete, he's not a real big guy. He ran the mid-4.9s, and then the throwing, as you saw in the combine, is good, but it's not like you're like, oh, wow, we found something here. He's got a hidden rocket for a right arm, right? No, it's not that. So I think Rattler will be a mid-round guy that people will go, hey, he can maybe be our backup right away as a rookie, and maybe develop into a starter somewhere down the line, right? But as far as draft's concerned, no, I don't think there's enough elite there to think, oh, yeah, he's going to be up there with some of these top guys.
Final one here. Dat fifth base dough.
Dat fifth base dough.
I'm not saying that right. There's something in there,
fifth,
but I was
dat fifth base dough.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's just slang that is too cool for us.
Okay, all right. I was worried that I was going to swear again for the second time in this podcast history.
I guess he is the fifth base dough.
Yeah, he's got it. We'll give it to him. Hey, let's give it to him. Damn, okay, you guys keep giving away all your quarterback ranking content, homie. I know, right? Need to keep that for a thrilling surprise countdown on the pod. That's what I'm saying, Dat Fifth Base Dough. Now I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Love your stuff, man. God bless you and Ahmed and everyone else, except for Pete. Wow, Pete
like,
gets my, us
my,
there.
My, like, you know, dough is like my black friends would say that, right? Like, and you know me, I'm the guy that was hanging out with DBs and receivers for the most of my career, especially at Texas, right? They always would be, what up, doe? What up, though? It was doe. What up, doe? You know, what up, doe?
So
you know?
Pete has translated. So, he goes, I like those first four bases.
Yeah, but that fifth base doe.
Right. Is the best.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, that acts that little extra.
What's a bass? What are we talking about?
Like a speaker, right?
Okay, yeah.
So maybe that gave him the extra thump in the trunk that he needs when he's riding around.
Up one
he
level.
He might be a down south, a trunk banger, right?
Okay.
He's got the car vibrating and whatever else. But I hear you at that fifth base doe because I really do. People, I was careful. I didn't want to say too much last week. I said a few things and people plagiarized me, I felt like.
Yep.
So I got some stuff out and some thoughts on Friday just so I could at least plant my flag in the ground a little bit. All right. So, but it's all coming on Wednesday. Deep dive. It's coming. top quarterback in the draft, Chris Sims and Ahmed Fareed style.
Yep.
Chris Sims on button. You know where to find us, all right? Subscribe, rate, review. 2024 draft QB rankings coming Wednesday. All right? And that was the fifth year anniversary show, all right?
That fifth year, though. That there's no cake.
They're talking about getting a cake, and I just went to my head right there.
Yeah.
You muttered. I thought maybe somebody would try to do something.
On that note, let me just real quick. Okay. I did write down the five things that I've learned working with you for 5 years. Can I do that real quick?
Okay.
Number one is stats lie. You got to look at context. I learned that from
context
you.
Context matters.
Context matters.
Right.
You know, I think one of the first times it happened for me was when you were talking about Justin Fields in college.
Right.
And they said that he did a good job of moving on from his first read to his second read to his third. Like, he made his way through his progressions,
right,
like, on paper better than most other. You're like, yeah, but in what time is he doing that? Is he doing it, like, in the pocket, or is he doing it after he's scrambled out of the pocket? So I was like, you're right.
There's some context there.
Context. Number two, averages suck. Like, don't just look at averages. You can have two running backs, you know, that have 5 yards of carry and 25 yards. One ripped off a 20-yard run that was awesome. The other is just grinding for 5 yards each time.
Right.
Two totally different running backs.
Exactly
so
right.
I learned that, too.
Right.
Number three was you got to have strong opinions held loosely, which is what you do a great job of.
You
have a strong opinion, but when evidence comes to you that makes you change your mind or reevaluate, we do that on this podcast. You don't change your mind just because of overwhelming public sentiment. So, like, you still won't. It's like, just because a lot of people say you're wrong, if you still think you're right, you're going to say you're right.
Thank you. Yep.
And number five is I do think you have risen to the top of the heap as knowledgeable NFL analysts, your work, your memory. You connect the dots. And I think, like, most importantly is, like, you love this game and you love the players that play the game and you like the athletic ability that goes into it. And so those are the five things that I've learned from this pod. And they were all positive.
Damn.
There was not one negative there to, like, razz you or anything like that.
Well, I really appreciate that. I feel bad that I don't have five things about you now.
Next pod.
Okay. But
five years from now.
I appreciate that, man. Seriously. Yep. It's been great working with you. And I hope everybody out there has enjoyed our podcast for these first 5 years. And hope we continue this for the next 25, 30. I was going to say 50 years. Yeah. I was like, I don't think I'll be alive then.
What are we going like to look like 5 years from now?
Well, we'll know because hopefully we'll be here 5 years from now and we'll be able to show.
Right.
Look at what we looked like 5 years ago and then 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But, hey, keep the questions coming in. We love that today. It was great. Great involvement by all the homies out there. Thanks for getting at us. You know where to find us. Keep sending them in. We're going to keep discussing. You know, we'll hit the quarterbacks on Wednesday. Then next week are going to be a little bit more free agency, and then we'll be back into the draft stuff. But you know how we do it here. It's all football all the time. Be good, everybody out there. We'll check you out Wednesday. Ahmed, thanks for driving the ship. As always, you the man. Me love you. Long time. Stop drinking those energy drinks. I love you too much. Peace out, everybody. Clap it up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.